So you went to Bryant's office and found him dead, Mrs. Peel?
Mm-hmm, that's right. I had a little argument with Lubin. He went straight through the window and disappeared.
With the last remaining complete copy of the special reptile issue of the Natural History magazine.
Oh, no. Lubin went, but the magazine remained. Here, turn to page 25, please.
Mm-hmm. Ah, here we are. Lizards and their habits.
I've read it. It's rather intimate.
Disgusting habits, in fact.
Awful. Terribly crafty. They hide from their enemies by merging with the background.
Lizards. Now, what have lizards got to do with the escape of three agents from an inescapable fortress? Wait. Where's that empty vodka bottle that came from Lubin's cell? Here we are. Well, just look at that label.
Lizard vodka, full strength.
The Avengers.
Episode 5 of this story, in which John Steed accepts a challenge and Emma Peel begins to realize how their enemies have managed to make their getaway. Rostov and Lubin, two dangerous secret agents, had escaped from the prison of Old Hill Monastery. Rostov had killed George Neville and disappeared. Assignment accomplished. Lubin had killed twice, Paul Ryder and Cedric Bryant, before crashing through a window and disappearing. Mrs. Peel couldn't believe that he could have survived the fall from the fifth floor, but the street had been deserted and the pavement empty. Back in Steed's apartment, over a welcome cup of tea, they studied a few other clues, including page 25 of a special issue of Bryant's Natural History magazine.
There's got to be a connection. Page 25 is all about lizards and their habits. The name on the vodka bottle is Lizard.
Coincidence? Or proof? What proof?
Well, it says full strength here. I'm sorry. The Magnus Importing Company.
What was that? Hey, let me see that bottle. Oh, dear.
Yes? Well, what is it, Mrs. Peel?
After Lubin fell out of the window, I naturally went to look. There was a van in the street. The only vehicle about. Painted on the side was the name...
The Magnus Importing Company.
That's right.
Right. I'll pay them a visit. Now, you get back to Peters and take back the files. Study those lizards and their disgusting habits. Get Peters onto that page. The article might be in code. Well, come on, Mrs. Peel. At least we're getting somewhere, even if we're moving at the rate of snails and not lizards. Let's go.
Steed found that the Magnus Importing Company had their offices in front of a warehouse near the river. Unable to make himself known at the front, Steed went round to the warehouse entrance and prodded open the back door with his umbrella. Steed walked between lines of crates towards a pool of light at the far end of the darkened room. A man stepped out suddenly.
Yeah?
Ah, right at last. I'm looking for Mr. Magnus.
You found him.
The man stooped suddenly and hid a bottle away under a crate.
Ah, vodka.
Vodka?
Well, to be precise, lizard vodka. I'm told it's excellent. I thought I'd order a crate or two.
Impossible.
Impossible?
We don't stock that line anymore.
Oh, dear, but surely you've got just one bottle somewhere?
Not even one bottle.
Oh, I see. If you do happen to get another consignment, I...
We won't. We've finished with lizard vodka for good.
Oh, well, sorry to have bothered you then.
Bye.
Steed moved off slowly, aware that Magnus stooped to retrieve the bottle on the floor. He picked it up. It was a bottle of lizard vodka. Very carefully, he attached a label to the neck. It read, Express Delivery, Martin Esdorf. In his cell at Old Hill Monastery, Martin Esdorf paced up and down. His mood had changed. He was an impatient man. He swung round as the cell door clattered open and then slammed to. John Steed entered with a parcel.
Beware of Steed bearing gifts.
Well, it's not a gift exactly, Esdorf. You ordered it. You did order this, didn't you? Lizard vodka?
Yeah, that's right, I did.
It's a brand I don't know.
Does that mean that you would like to try it? It's pleasure. Allow me.
As Esdorf poured the vodka, Steed wandered around the cell. He stopped at the table and flipped a couple of pages over in Bryant's Natural History magazine. Esdorf watched him.
Steed?
Hmm?
Your vodka.
Oh, fine. You know, the secret could be in here.
Steed tapped the magazine. Esdorf's eyes flickered.
The secret to your character. Well, it's the saying, isn't it? Judge a man by the books he reads. Smooth.
Smooth. But I would think that Colonel James would consider it a trifle on the dry side.
Yes, perhaps. But I expected books on mechanics, history, and even geography. I must say, this one surprises me. Natural history.
Then a man has nothing else to do.
But toads and lizards. I wouldn't have thought lizards were in your line, I thought.
You're getting closer, Steve. Very close. But if you never be close enough, perhaps ours isn't here in this magazine. Here, take it. Study it. Draw and quote it. You will find never the answer, if there is an answer to be found. but I admire you, Steed. I really do. You're incisive, thorough, relentless, a worthy adversary. We are equally matched. We are very alike, you and I. Identical, in fact.
No, no.
There's a difference. We are both dedicated to our country, both prepared to die for it. You have killed, I have killed.
There is a difference. I only kill when I have to. You, because you like it.
we are merely debating with the grace on the real issue. How, Steed? How? How will I escape from here? You can't stop me, Steed. You won't be able to. And then, when I'm free, we will face each other, you and I. There will be you. There will be me. And snuggled in my hand will be a sleek, well-oiled, shiny cambretta.
I prefer Brown and Thiessen Magnum, myself.
I remember that. Oh, yes. I remember that. You have chosen the weapons, Steed.
Ah, now you're going to turn all English and say, let the best man win.
Oh, I shall, Steed. I shall.
Mrs. Peel headed back to Peter's office at the ministry and turned in the three files.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Peel.
Oh, you better have this. A slip of paper with the Roman numerals on it. I shan't need that anymore. I know what it means.
You do? You mean you cracked the code?
Oh, quite simple, really. Nothing you need worry your head about. But you might like this.
A copy of the Natural History magazine. An article on lizards. Oh, how very kind and thoughtful of you, Mrs. Peel. My hobby.
Yes. Other people's as well, it seems. Now, why should Rostov and Lubin be interested in lizards?
I can't think. Except, of course, that they make such delightful pets. Now take this one. Here, from the aquarium. This is Alfred. Isn't he a dear? Charming little thing. And one never tires of them because they're forever changing color.
Yes. Yes, of course they are.
Yes, you see, Alfred is a true chameleon. All chameleons change color, of course. It's something to do with the chromophores in the skin. They merge with the background. Let me show you.
Peters took the chameleon from the brown earth, where it had been standing almost undetected, and placed it on the green blotter of his desk. The chameleon began to change color.
Nature's camouflage. Astonishing, isn't it? You'd never know he was there, would you? He's practically disappearing before our eyes.
Yes. Yes, of course. Of course, that's it.
From the bars of his cell, Martin Esdorf was able to see John Steed leave the monastery grounds. It was then, with a thin-lipped smile of triumph, that he carried the vodka bottle into the bathroom of his cell. He opened the bottle and poured the contents down the sink. Then he twisted the neck of the bottle in the other direction. This opened the lower half of the bottle. It was filled with a colorless liquid. Esdorf moved to a cupboard, selected a warm tracksuit, and he poured the liquid from the bottle into the bath and pressed the back of the tracksuit down into it. From the cell door, Baxter looked in.
Check in, Baxter?
That's right. This one isn't going to get away, I can tell you.
What's he doing?
Taking a bath. He always does about this time of the day. We'll give him a check on the scanner.
That's funny. I could have sworn it. He was in the bathroom a minute ago. I can see the shape of him through the frosted glass.
Here, let me take a look.
Max, it looks as though the cell's completely empty.
Call the colonel.
Right. Colonel? Colonel James? Baxter here, reporting from the cells.
What is it, Baxter? What's wrong?
It's Esnor, sir. I can't see him anywhere. Price and I have been watching on the scanner. Should I take a look inside?
No, hold it. No, I'm coming down.
In a matter of minutes, Colonel James was with the two men in the corridor. Seconds later, he had agreed with them.
Give me the walkie-talkie. Hello there. Edwards, open up Esnor's cell.
Password, sir.
Damson.
It's out of fire, sir.
Oh, for heaven's sake, man. Raspberry, then.
Yes, sir.
Careful, men. Guns at the ready. Follow me.
The three men stepped into the cell. There was no one there.
No one here. No one at all. I could have sworn...
An arm seemed to come from nowhere and hand-chopped Baxter at the back of the neck. Seconds later...
Baxter! Baxter, what is it? What did you...
Price staggered and fell over Baxter's body. Colonel James wheeled round, coming back into the main part of the cell from the bathroom.
What the devil? Baxter? Price? What happened?
Even the colonel didn't know what hit him. Seconds later, the cell door slammed. Esdorf was free.